and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben. Jubilee greetings, Ben. Oh, it's all over now.
Hello, and jubilant greetings to you too, sir.
How was it for you?
It was lovely. We had some scones and jam and clotted cream, and yeah, it was great.
Was that just you, or did you have was there a little street party where you are?
No, we were invited to a street party, but...
But the antisocial so-and-so that you are, I'm not celebrating with other people.
No, it's mainly because I just despise other people, really. Yeah,
yeah. No, I don't blame you.
And we had a lovely time.
Isn't it? It's that enforced fun.
Exactly, yes.
I was talking to my parents over the weekend, and they were remembering the Silver Jubilee, which was not that long before I was born. So my mum was heavily pregnant with me. She was telling me that they had a big street party, and my dad and my granddad and all the kind of blokes in the road, they'd had a knobbly knees contest. And I just thought, see, that would be my worst nightmare. I was sort of glad I wasn't there for that, to see my granddad and my dad humiliate themselves in a...
Yeah.
She didn't say it, either of them won. Is that a good thing, not to win the knobbly knees contest? Is it better to not win knobbly knees?
No, I'd always want to win everything. Right. I'm a very competitive human being, but...
Would you knobble your own knees before the contest? Get Mrs. Ben to smack them with a hammer like Misery.
But to me, it's the idea of... interminable small talk with people you couldn't give a shit about. Yeah. Sorry, I've sworn very early in this podcast. I do apologise. But yeah, that is insufferable. But the God bless her, long to reign over us and all that, I suppose.
Now, of course, I went up to London.
Oh, you did go?
I did, yeah.
Did you go on your own?
I did go on my own, yeah.
Oh.
What was that noise?
That was that was the noise of pity. That's really quite sad.
No one else wanted to go with me.
I didn't invite anyone. Listen, if you'd called me and said, Ben, do you want to come with me to the Queen's
Jubilee?
You
won't even go to a street party. You're not going to come up with half a million people.
No, but if you'd have told me that the upshot would have been that you go on your own, I would have felt so bad for you that I'd have joined in, even though I would have hated it. I'd have come with you.
Well, that's very kind of you to have made the offer 4 days late.
How was it? Where did you get?
Well, what I did, because I got there quite early, I went on a Thursday, and there was the Trooping of the Colour. And for the first bit of that, because even by the time I got there, there was rows back from the barriers. So I thought, well, I'm not going to see much of this. So I'm just going to sit in the park for the first bit. And there's a big screen, so I can sort of see what's going on. I could see a lot of hats go by.
Hats?
That's all I could see was soldiers' hats going from where I was. So for the first bit, I thought, well, I'll just sit in the park. I can sort of soak up the atmosphere. I think it's really interesting watching people at that sort of event, because, I mean, obviously it was really busy. I did get a little bit annoyed that people weren't really valuing personal space, because there's a whole park there. And I don't think you need to put your blanket right next to my feet.
Oh,
I think that's
unnecessary. Close, was it?
It's a bit too close for my liking. But I like watching people have the conversation about when's too early to have a drink. There was a family who sat up just next to me, and they started debating at, I think it was about 9:30 in the morning, whether it was too early to have PIMS or not. They decided to go for it, and I thought, why not? Go for it.
In the words of Johnny Depp, isn't happy hour any time?
Especially at the Jubilee.
So, did you see any of the protesters?
Only on the big screen. I saw them run on. There was a big... I didn't quite see what was going on, because I was in a position that also meant the screen was obscured by a big tree, so I couldn't quite see everything. But there was suddenly a lot of booing.
Yes.
And I thought, what's going on? So I sort of turned my head so I could see the screen, and there was a protester out, but they cut the camera very quickly, so you didn't see what happened. But there were some soldiers that were just milling about selling programs, if you wanted a program.
Yeah.
And they all dropped their bags and ran. And I thought, I don't know who these protesters were. I think I subsequently found that they were some sort of animal rights thing, I believe.
And don't get me wrong, I'm a big supporter for animal rights.
Yeah, not there though. That's not the time.
No, not the time or the place. No,
wrong. Also, you're doing it where there's the largest presence of armed forces outside of a war.
Yes.
And armed policemen. You're not gonna hang around for long. They're not gonna take any prisoners. You will be dragged
They were dragged.
Yeah, and skin will be pulled off your body as they pull you along the tarmac. Yes. They won't care.
And they were dragged off immediately. They had about, you know how Oscar Wilde said everyone gets their 15 minutes of fame? These assholes, they got about 15 seconds before they were dragged off the pavement by the Met.
Because they ran in front of like marching soldiers as well. And I thought, would they even stop?
No.
Just march over you?
Yes, they would.
I think it was one of the bands as well. She got that bloke, you know, the weird bloke in the front who wears a sort of dress and he's got a big stick, you know? So he's sort of marching towards the protesters. That's what I saw. And I thought, he's not going to stop. He's probably going to whack him with that great big staff or whatever it is he's got, baton. I don't really know what he's carrying.
It's a bit of a bone of contention with me and the missus. She has a lot of respect for the Queen's Guard.
Yeah.
I don't. she does. She thinks that, you know, you should respect them. They've served in the military. They're very respectable people.
Yeah.
They're looking after the Queen. And I've said, yeah, but I've seen them march through children. Yeah. Just boot them aside. I don't have respect for that. But she does for some reason.
They're not going to stop. I think marching's an odd thing.
Yes, that is a bit weird, isn't it?
Once all the soldiers passed us the first time, I'd seen lots of hats go by. They had the Trooping of the Colour bit that's at Horse Guards Parade. They had that on the big screen. But we didn't have any sound to start with, which caused a little bit of unrest in the crowd.
Really?
There was a bit of a chant started up. I have to say, it wasn't hugely taken up by the majority of the people, but there was a small number of people going, "We want sound. We want the set." Very British chant. There was no sort of real anger about it. And after about 30 seconds of chanting and realising they weren't getting any sound, it's, we're not getting any.
Did you notice any anti-Meghan and Harry sentiments?
No, not at all. I didn't get any of that. But what I was going to say was that when they were doing the Trooping of Colour thing, so I'm watching them on the screen, we haven't got any sound. When they do slow march and you watch them, particularly with no sound, they do look ridiculous. It's almost like a goose step, almost.
Yeah.
And you look at it and you think, this is weird. This is really weird. And then they eventually turned on the sound. And I swear the military band were playing Silt in Your Face, which is the Monty Python song. I swear they were playing that. I'm sure they weren't, but it sounded like it. Anyway, then they all came back once they'd done the Trooping the Colour bit. And this time I'd moved away from the park so I could see a little bit clearer through the sea of people. Saw Camilla and Kate and the children in their horse and carriage go by.
See, you had a nice day overall. You enjoyed yourself?
Yeah, it was nice. And then the flypast, of course, which was what I went up for.
I did see planes flying over with the number 70.
70, yeah.
That was really impressive.
I tell you, a very British thing about the day was that nobody really knew what was going on, because I was trying to work out whether we were going to get on the Mall. Because from the sides, you're not going to get a great view of the planes because there's loads of trees about. You're not going to see them that well. So I was thinking, how are we going to get on the Mall? They're going to allow us on the Mall. So I was sort of eavesdropping because everyone was asking. I swear I listened into about three or four people asking, stewards, the police, soldiers, all of them with a different answer as to how that's going to happen. I thought, that's how very British this is to not have a real plan that everyone knows the answer to. It's like, so they said, they only open the gates at the top, so you're going to have to get up there. So I started walking up, and then I overheard someone say, oh, no, they're going to open the barriers here. So I thought, I'm not going to walk all the way up there. Then they didn't open the barriers where I was. And then they started marching people from the top of the Mall down. Now, I think these were for my eyes, it was very much the class system on show here, Ben. Because the first batch of people that came through, you kind of got the sense that they might have been key workers, maybe. So that was all right. There was a lot of cheering for them. But then after that, I think it was very posh people, very poshly dressed people, all allowed down the front. And I'm thinking, oh, here we go. Look, here we are. The plebs behind the barriers and all these poshos who have been in the stands for the Trooping of the Colour, presumably paying a lot of money for tickets, being allowed down and waving as if they're part of it. You're not part of it. Stop waving. So that annoyed me a little bit. And then one of the people in front of me, or a few of the people in front of me, broke through one of the barriers.
Well, that's not on.
So we started thinking we're going to get through here. Then the police came by, boo, and said, no, No, you're not allowed through. And then I don't know quite what happened at that point, because then they opened a barrier about three up from where I was. So I did get on the Mall, Ben.
You got there.
Walked down the Mall a little bit, and then the planes come over. And it's pretty impressive, Ben. I tell you the most impressive. The Red Arrows, obviously, you know what you're getting. The 70 was fantastic when the Typhoons, I think they're called, they came over in the formation of a 7 and a 0. Very impressive. But I tell you what was great, Ben, when you were at the... not quite at the front of the Mall, but you're sort of a fair way down. And then in the distance, you see the outline of the Lancaster bomber and then the two Spitfires and the two Hurricanes. That's quite a view as that comes down the Mall towards you. Very impressive.
I would just like to pick you up on a small point.
Go on. Yeah, yeah.
You said very flippantly, in almost like it was a throwaway comment.
Yeah.
The Red Arrows, you know what you're getting there.
You know what you're getting
then you just moved on.
You know what you're getting with them. They're amazing. Everyone loves the Red. They got probably the biggest cheer.
But you sounded very dismissive. Oh, and then there was the Red Arrows. You know what you're getting there.
I like the Red, but I wish they'd do something a bit different. It's a V formation with red,
do
white,
you
and blue.
Have
every
any
time.
Idea.
Every time they do that, mix it up a little bit. Do the face of the Queen or something.
Do you have any idea the complications of flying in a perfectly
I've just seen them do a 70 formation. A V after that is a bit of an anticlimax, frankly.
So disrespectful.
Well,
why am I defending this? I don't give a shit. The idea of flying, I don't even know how many jets there was, probably like, what, 15 to make the 7-0 in the sky?
I think it was 15, I think it
and
was.
And they were spaced perfectly.
Yeah.
It was a work of art.
No,
and you're just saying, oh, and the Red Arrows, yeah, they did their usual shit, blah, 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 blah.
Well, that was,
it's incredible.
But the Red Arrows weren't doing the 70.
Who did the 70?
They were the Typhoons.
Well, they did a very good job.
They were making I'm just saying the Red Arrows are great, but it's a V formation and the red, white, and blue. That's whenever I've seen them, that's all they ever do.
Yeah.
I like them. So mix it up a little bit.
Boo!
I felt like booing as they came over.
Same old shit.
Yeah, no one else joined in with me, that chart. I mean, I felt like, you know, this is a bit of an anticlimax. No loop the loops, nothing like that. I thought, well, they could have just made it a little bit more special than just your standard V shape with red, white, and blue smoke. Come on.
Oh, dear.
Well, mix it up a little bit.
You're a hard man to please.
Well, just saying, make the 70 the final thing of the fire pass. Get the Red Arrows done before that. The 70 should have been the climax, but the Red Arrows is always the climax. And I thought, well, with the 70 was more impressive than the Red Arrows.
Well,
I mean, I'm not a plane expert. Don't get me wrong. I still enjoyed the Red Arrows. I just think you know what you're going to get with the Red Arrows.
You do. But I'm glad you went, because I think you'd have kicked yourself if you didn't.
Leaving the park was probably the worst bit, because even the Mall, it wasn't too bad. But getting out of the park to get back to the station, that was hell on earth. That was the time I thought, why did I come here? What is it with people with rucksacks on their back? If you're going to be pushing in and shoving, take the fucking thing off. Or at least be aware that you've got it on. I mean, the number of times I was booted around the shoulders with bloody rucksacks.
I felt sounds like a horrible day out.
And then this one woman, right, so we're at this one bit where, I mean, it was a bit of a nightmare because loads of people converging and there was only one way out and it was all a bit pushy and shovey and I don't like that. And then this woman literally just was pushing people and she just shoved me, right? And I you know me, I'm a very polite man, so I didn't say anything.
Yeah, but, I mean, you are the nicest person I've ever met in my life, but I can't imagine you would tolerate someone just shoving you for no reason.
Well, I tell you what took me back a little bit. Before I could even say anything, I mean, I'm not sure I would have said anything anyway because I'm not that type of guy. But I got shoved by this woman, right? And she pushes past me. And then I look round and she's holding hands with not an elderly, not very elderly. I would say 70, a 70-year-old looking nun.
A nun?
And I thought, you better be rushing somewhere for the last rites There was no reason for you to, like, coming through. It's a non-emergency. I'm just going to push you out of the way. And she was pushing everyone.
It must be difficult for nuns in an emergency, because if you hear the words, this is a non-emergency, you're going to think, nothing to worry about.
Well, I think they should have, if there's a non-emergency, if they're called to, perform the last rites, then they need to have like a little siren and maybe a little flashing light, a little kind of a halo above them that flashes, and a siren that's like a angelic chorus.
That's a great idea.
And then you think, oh, nun coming through, emergency. Everyone would part like the Red Sea and allow her through.
It's a miracle.
To the emergency to which she has to attend. But just having like a, I don't know, what seemed to me like some sort of appointed pusher to push people out of the way for this nun. I thought, well, hang on, where's the godliness in this? There doesn't seem to be any godliness in this action.
No, I mean, I
didn't feel it was the time for a theological debate with a nun. It didn't
probably
feel
not
the right time for that. And she looked slightly embarrassed that her, whoever this other woman was, the nun looked a little bit embarrassed by the whole affair, if I'm honest.
So we never established who or what the role of this woman was, the pusher?
She was just like the pusher.
Like a sort of
maybe
bodyguard.
That's something nuns have. I don't know that much about nuns. Do they have an appointed pusher? I recently saw that thing about Mother Teresa. She didn't seem to have an appointed pusher.
No, but what thing? Thing is, you watch so many strange programs.
I recommended it about 3 weeks ago.
Yes, it's no surprise to me that you have watched a documentary on Mother Teresa at all. What have you been watching?
I recommended it, and I can't believe you haven't watched it yet. When I recommend at the end of a podcast, I say, oh, by the way, this week, I highly recommend a three-part documentary on Mother Teresa. Do you not go, oh, Mrs. Ben, Trev's just highly recommended this three-part documentary on Mother Teresa. I think we should watch it.
No, I ignore all of your recommendations.
Ignore all of my... Well, you're
of course.
You're not going to like what I'm going to recommend later. But anyway, I didn't get to see the Queen, by the way.
You didn't? What a waste of time.
Because the one thing about the Mao, when I went for the Golden Jubilee... I must have got to a position where I could see the balcony, because I definitely saw her that day. But I was right on the Mall this time, and that fucking Albert statue's in the way. I mean, knock that down. What's the point of having a balcony that no one can see up the Mall? Because there's a fucking statue in front. They just have a big screen. I saw it on the big screen.
You sound like a disappointed sniper.
Well, I tell you what, you know when I saw the carriages go by and I'm behind all the people, but you know what I did think? Maybe this isn't the sort of thought people should be having when they're attending a Jubilee event. But as the carriage with Camilla and Kate went by, I thought there's no way I could have got a clean shot.
I knew you were thinking
there
that.
Because I thought it's gone quite fast. There's lots of people. I would have taken a couple of innocents out and maybe not have got the target. Had I been an assassin, and I'm guessing that's why there's never been an assassination during a big event, because you just couldn't get a clean shot from the crowds, which is why obviously you need to be high up, like in a book depository, you need to have that.
Well, yes, I was going to challenge you there. You're saying there's never been an assassination on a big event, JFK.
That's what I mean. You've got to have that height advantage, and around the Mall. There's very few places that aren't so secured that you could get in and find the height. I mean, I don't know why I was thinking about that when I'm there. It's just the thought that came to my mind as they went by. I thought, oh, it's a good job I'm not here, because I could never have achieved that. I think even one of the finest shots in the land would struggle.
This is a very macabre thought process.
But anyway, no, I really enjoyed it. I'm glad I went. I was, slightly disappointed. I didn't get to see Her Majesty herself from the balcony, but I can always say forevermore that I was there.
Can I ask you a question? I genuinely don't mean to sound in any way facetious or just, you know, being a dick, but was it worth it?
Yes, it was, because I've been accused by a couple of people of being like this rampant monarchist. And I thought I've explained this several times. Have I got time for the Queen? Yes, I think she's done quite a good job for 70 years.
No, but I mean, you got up that day, you got washed and dressed, you left the house, you brought a train ticket.
Yeah.
You went.
Yeah.
You queued up. You saw nothing.
Well, no,
Was it worth it?
I saw a lot of things.
You saw nothing I couldn't have seen on the TV. I saw the fly past, by the way. Didn't leave the house. I saw the fly past.
I saw the carriage with Camilla go by. I saw lots of soldiers' hats. When I say I saw lots of, I could only see the hats of those who were on horses. Anyone below sort of that sort of height, I couldn't see. I could just hear marching and the bands going by to start with. But, you know, I wasn't there for that. I was there for the fly past. If I could have seen the Queen, that would have been a lovely thing. But I can forevermore say I was there, Ben. That was the thing. I like the history of it. I like that. You know, there's never been a Platinum Jubilee. There might never be one again. I may only ever experience one more Jubilee in my lifetime, Ben.
Oh, yeah?
Well, if Charles comes in and becomes king in the next, let's say, 5 years, the next Jubilee is not going to be till he's 25th. I mean, I'm going to be getting old then.
Well, I mean, this isn't going to sound very rude, but I think we do know what our next bank holiday is going to be. If I can put it that way.
She's going to go before August. Come on, mate. What are you putting bets on?
No, I'm not putting bets on. I'm just suggesting
that... You mean
that
extra bank holiday?
I'm just suggesting...
Or do you genuinely mean before August?
I very much doubt we'll get another Jubilee.
not with Her Majesty the Queen. Very much doubt it, because, I mean, the next one will be 80 and she'll be 106. And I think that's very unlikely, Ben.
Well, you know...
But what I'm saying is she might have another 4 or 5 years in her. Her mum lived to 101, I think. So she might have that, and then Charles will be king, and then it'll be 25 years before we have his Jubilee, yes. By which time I'm going to be, 75? So that I might only see one more Jubilee. And the fact that this was a platinum, never been seen before, but in thousands of years' time, they'll be still talking about it, and I'll always have the eternal thought that I was there. while I'm rotting in hell, I'll be thinking, I was there. I was there. That's a good thing. Did you?
It is amazing how long you can live when you don't have to work a nerve, isn't it?
She did some waving, mate. although she didn't bother at the pageant because they just had a hologram of her waving.
Oh, for God's sake!
Did you watch any of the pageant though?
No, I paid very little attention to it.
Well, the pageant was kind of they had a lot of the soldiers to start with. We've all seen soldiers march. I don't know why we always have to have soldiers. Like, why is it these things we have to kind of show off the military might? Well, yeah, we've got a lot of soldiers in ridiculous costumes, but then after that, it was lots of kind of fun things. I do have one weird question. They had buses, open-top buses, representing each decade of her reign, right? And on top of the buses, there were people or celebrities to kind of define that decade. And one thing I couldn't work out is why Chris Eubank was on the 1950s. Why is he on the 1950s bus? I looked him up. He wasn't born till 1966. How has he got on? Is it just no one's going to argue with him? He's like, I want to be part of the Jubilee celebration. And they've gone, all right, Chris, just we've only got room on the 50s bus. That'll do. I dress like that anyway. I mean, what? Why is he on the 50s bus?
So, Trev, I have a bit of a confession to make.
Confession?
It's been a big week for me.
That's it?
Very big.
Right. I mean, is this something that I should be aware of? Is it going to need congratulations?
Yeah.
Is it?
You'll be aware of it. It is worth congratulations, but you won't care.
Okay.
I got very excited the other day because I just was scrolling through YouTube and I saw a upcoming live video.
Is it going to be a wrestler?
No.
Oh.
It was entitled The Verdict Is In.
Oh. Now this is the big one.
The biggest one. Big one.
Who? That's how much I care, Ben.
Oh, fuck you.
That's how much, no, I, No, I did care because you text me and I was already tuned in because originally they said, and the announcement of the verdict coming at 7 p.m. So I already had it on and then you text me and by then it was 8 o'clock and I thought, what? And no wonder I'm sitting again annoyed listening to all these people prattling on about nothing in particular. It was pissing me off.
Yes, there was a minor delay with the jury's verdict.
It sounds like they're complete imbeciles, mate.
But they had made a quite glaring error on the forms.
I mean, it's one of the biggest things. Surely they'd fill out all the bits necessary.
You would have thought.
The incompetence.
But
I mean, thank God they didn't say, oh, well, now it's all null and void. We've got to go again. I mean, that would have been the worst thing. So anyway, yes, we were all on tenterhooks and you and I, we were texting each other. I don't know why suddenly I got so invested in this.
I know. I think you were patronising me. It was very sweet of you. But yes,
it was a good
Johnny
job you
Depp.
Couldn't see me because I was making all kinds of hand gestures.
Johnny Depp did come out triumphant in his court case, which was lovely. So nice. Justice has prevailed.
But it was a weird thing, wasn't it? Because he sort of won 2 and she... It was like a football match. It was like 2-1 in the end, wasn't it? Because he
not
ended up
really.
Owing her about 2 million. She ended up owing him about 10 million. I mean, the whole thing was a bit bizarre. And then they said... Because I think I asked you the question about... like, has she got this money? And
no.
One of them, they went, well, the award is... $5 million, but you've only got to pay $350,000. I mean, what's the point of setting a $5 million thing and then say, oh, well, actually,
I can answer that question. If you actually give a shit, I can answer that question.
I mean, I don't, but people might.
Okay. That's so rude.
No, you explain it to any listeners who are interested and I'll just twiddle my thumbs for 30 seconds.
Okay. So,
and then when I hear silence, I'll come back.
Yeah. So rude. At least when you're talking, I feign interest.
All right, go on, Ben. No, what is it, Ben? Go on. Yeah.
Right. Stop it. Yeah. Behave yourself. Yeah. Now,
I'm really interested in this legal loophole. Yeah, go on.
It's not a loophole. It's just, it's making a point. Oh, what it is in the state of Virginia, there is a cap on punitive damages.
Right.
You're already bored, I can tell. Johnny Depp won $10 million off her. She has to pay that or claim bankruptcy, I suppose,
right.
Bitch. But she also lost $5 million in punitive damages.
Right.
Now, there is a cap on punitive damages to the value of $350,000.
She still has to pay that amount plus the $10 million for the other thing.
But she doesn't have to pay the whole $5 million in punitive damages because there is a $350,000 cap.
Right.
But, so you would say, what's the point in awarding him $5 million?
Yes.
The point is to send a message.
Oh, I see. That message has got through, I'm sure.
You are winding me up. You are pressing my buttons and you know you are.
Who's it sending a message to?
It's sending a message to her that even though you've only got to pay him $350,000, we are still sticking two fingers up and saying you should pay $5 million. You are winding me up.
No, that's like saying to a school kid who's been doing right, I tell you what. So out of order. The behaviour. You're so close to being expelled. We're going to give you 7 weeks detention. But actually, you've got to do only 2 days. Just the 2 days detention because there's a cap.
Yeah. You are winding me up.
All right. No, I'm taking it very seriously.
I mean, as a format, this podcast won't go well if we don't like each other.
We've managed for this long, mate. 10 years we've been doing this sort of shit together. Never liked each other.
Oh, God.
Right, so, there's a cap. It sent a message.
Yes. And I must admit at this point, I don't know if this is going to land me in any sort of legal trouble. I don't think so.
Well, we know there's only a cap. As long as you've got $350,000 and you're all right.
I have... and not only me, but Mrs. Ben as well has joined in. And I have placed multiple phone calls to the Sun newspaper.
You've placed multiple phone calls to the Sun newspaper?
Yes.
What?
You may not be aware, because I get the impression I'm a little more obsessed with Johnny Depp than you are.
Well, over the last few weeks, I mean, people won't notice because I don't think we've discussed it too much on the podcast. But I mean, whenever I've spoken to you, it's like the Johnny Depp fan club I've phoned. It's like I phone you and you pick it up and you go, "Hi, this is Ben Harmer, Johnny Depp's number one fan."
You've changed
all your profile pictures to Johnny Depp.
Yes, I have. Oh, I'm glad you noticed.
I've noticed, mate, because it's all gone a little bit weird, mate.
Justice for Johnny.
I mean, I haven't seen you recently. It wouldn't surprise me if you got a tattoo of Johnny Depp on your arse or your face. You've probably got stickers of him in your car.
I have asked, this is very silly, but I have asked my mum, would you disown me if I got a tattoo
of Johnny Depp or just
just a tattoo in general,
right?
And she said I would be very disapproving, but I got the impression she wouldn't disown me, so right. There might be some tattoos to come
of Johnny,
maybe. Yeah,
all right, okay. So let me just go back a minute because we seem to have deviated from the conversation. You've placed many to the Sun newspaper.
Multiple.
Why? Have you genuinely been phoning the Sun newspaper?
Yes, hand on my heart. Why? I wouldn't lie to you. I have placed multiple phone calls to the Sun.
Have you got some sort of inside story you're trying to set?
No. You may not be aware, but...
I'm almost certainly not.
Before the United States court case, Johnny Depp was in court in the UK. And he tackled the Sun newspaper, who printed all sorts of shit about him. And he's now vindicated himself and won in the United States. So I placed a few phone calls the other night to the Sun newsroom. And it was the damnedest thing. I just phoned them up. I was at Hello, the Sun newsroom. And I said, "Oh, hello. I was just wondering if you're going to write a retraction, an apology piece to Johnny Depp."
You've got so far up Johnny Depp's arse, your phone in the Sun demanding apologies. This is too weird, mate.
And it's the damnedest thing, because every time I finish my sentence, the line went dead.
Really?
And I just couldn't work out what was going on, so I had to call them back.
They've got your number down, and they can't come up. You're like the nutcase, the one of the many Johnny Depp nutters. You're on that list. We'll for some newspaper.
We will come to that. Believe me. I called them back. I said, "I'm sorry, the line went dead. I was just asking, Hello, the Sun newsroom, would you care to issue an apology to Johnny Depp? Are you going to write a retraction and apologise for your trashy newspaper shit?" And funny enough,
I commend the use of that language when talking about the Sun newspaper.
The line went dead again. And I'm about 14 times later, the line keeps going dead.
14 times?
Oh, that's just my end. Mrs. Ben, she was on her phone, and then went, this is amazing, right? They started saying to me, by the way, I might be what they call doxing myself, which is when you give away your personal information, but... They started answering the phone and saying, "Oh, hello, we know your number ends in 570.
Yeah, of course.
And I said, "Oh, we going to do phone me? I don't give a fuck." It's so stupid. We going to tell my mum? Okay, fine. Ridiculous.
I mean, unlikely you're going to tell your mum. I mean, there's a lot of investigative. I mean, they've probably got the means to do it, but they'd probably have to. I mean, what they'd probably end up doing is tapping your phone, then getting your mum's number, and then informing Omar Harmer of your misdemeanors.
They did briefly win back my respect for a second because they made me laugh. They obviously had clocked my number, phoning them repeatedly.
Have they clocked Mrs. Ben's number as well?
Yeah.
Is she getting the same sort of responses?
They told her, "We know what your phone number is." Like, okay, fine.
No offence to Mrs. Ben, and I apologise for what I'm about to say. But I'm surprised, as it's the Sun, they didn't go, "Well, love, have you got nice tits? Because we can put your page free."
But it was incredible because they got so fed up. And by the way, it wasn't just us doing it. They have been inundated with Johnny Depp fans bothering them, phoning them. That's why they cut us off immediately. Well, I should say for legal purposes, unless there was a problem with the phone line. Who knows?
I'm amazed that they were still actually answering the phone.
Yeah, but this is why I give them a little bit of respect, right? Because at a certain point, They start, I swear to God, I'm not joking. They started answering the phone and going, "Hello, The Guardian." Just thought, yeah, you wish you worked for a more reputable newspaper.
Yeah, you wish you worked for something that wasn't just toilet paper.
Oh, dear. It was good fun, though.
So what was the, did you just give up in the end? Did you kind of feel you'd had your moment of fun and then think,
well, in the end, we kept redialing and they kept just diverting us to voicemail. So they obviously got wise to us eventually, but it was worth it. I think the problem was there was a TikTok that went out, which was encouraging people to bother the Sun newspaper. And I thought, yeah, good idea.
The question is, though, have they issued an apology? Have you been checking?
No.
You'd have to buy the paper because they wouldn't put it on their website, would they? I wouldn't have thought. So you wouldn't want to be buying that trash because, I mean, I don't know about you, but if that newspaper has ever ended up in my home, I almost want to vomit.
No, I would never buy the Sun newspaper ever again. What a rag that thing is.
So anyway, back to the court case.
Thank you.
To the court case itself. So she won one thing, didn't she?
Yeah. Are you really not familiar with what's happened?
Well, no, all I'm saying, I knew that there was like one thing and then he did another. By the way, no disrespect. I mean, we can hardly be charged with being the greatest public speakers of all time. But the woman read it out, the sheets of the verdicts. I mean, she could barely get one word out without tripping over. I was thinking, oh, this is going to go on all fucking night, love. Crack. Just tell me, guilty or not. Honestly, it was interminable.
So the long and short of it is that she has lost badly. She has been, I quite like that she has been awarded something because it speaks of a fairness of the jury, so she can't criticise that too much.
Right, yeah.
So she has been awarded $2 million in damages. Lord Johnny has been awarded $10 million and punitive damages capped to $350,000. So she's about $8 million in the negative.
It's not a bad day's work for Johnny, is it? I mean, he doesn't really need that money, I wouldn't have thought.
No, he doesn't. But I think it was more to prove a point.
Right. Although that money might come in a little bit handy, actually, Ben.
Yes.
Because he might pay for all the legal proceedings to keep you the fuck away from him. But there we are. That's it for another episode of the Trev and Johnny Depp Fan Club podcast. So as we're now being renamed.
I'm fine with that.
You're fine with that.
You say that to take the piss out and be like, it'll hurt me. I am fine with that.
By the way, I'll tell you what I didn't say is, because I know last week you recommended a Johnny Depp film. I mean, are you just going through all the Johnny Depp films now? How are you keeping the Johnny Depp fix going?
Well, yes. Life after the court case has ground to a surprising halt. It's very difficult, but I've recently watched Black Mass and a bit confusing, but I enjoyed it nonetheless.
My favourite Johnny Depp film, by the way, if it's one of his lesser known ones. I think I've told you about this recently, not on the podcast, but privately when you were banging on about him. Ed Wood.
Yes, I took that recommendation and I gave it to Mrs. Ben and she loved it.
Oh, she's seen it.
She watched it and she was very grateful for the recommendation. She said it was weird.
Yes.
But she enjoyed it.
For anyone who doesn't know, it's the kind of true life story of the director Ed Wood, who is pretty much known as one of the worst film directors. But it's a brilliant film and he is very good in it, Ben. I'll give you that for sure. So what else have you been watching to recommend this week, Ben? Johnny Depp related?
No, not really. Black Mass, I loved, which was great. No, I can't really think of much that I've watched which doesn't include Johnny Depp. And I don't want to oversaturate the podcast with too much Johnny Depp, no. Even though...
A bit late.
Right, what have you got then? Recommend your shit.
Well, I've got three things to recommend to you. Well, four, I'll just throw one out there that I haven't watched yet, but the new series of Outlaws started this week.
Oh, did it?
Yes, so that's series two is out there now. Episode one, I think, was on just the other night, so I don't know if they're all available on iPlayer yet. I haven't watched it as yet, but it's on my list. But I've been very documentary heavy this week, Ben.
I'll try and hide my amazement.
You know Lucy Worsley, the historian?
No.
Well, she has a lot.
Sorry, that took the wind out of your sails, didn't it?
I bet if she'd done a documentary on Johnny Depp, you'd know her name. she's got a new series on BBC Two. The first one, which I only got around to watching this week, was one about the witch finders, which was interesting.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
No, it was. It was fascinating because it talked about sort of almost the first woman to be convicted of being a witch, and it looked into the history of her, and then it sort of took the story on and how that just grew into this thing where they were just basically killing women left, right and centre just for no real reason. I mean, it was unbelievable.
But so you say the first woman to be convicted of being a witch.
At the start of the whole witch finder kind of era.
Well, as if you're implying that previously men were constantly found as being witches, is that right?
Not really, but it was just the start of that witch finder period where women were the targets. There were a few men accused and convicted of being witches, but it was mainly the women. And the things they would pick to sort of decide whether someone was a witch or not, it would even go on sometimes like just the clothes they were wearing, like they're very witch-like. Fucking hell. And then she did one this week, which of course I watched a documentary recently about it, but she just did one on the Black Death, which was fascinating. But I tell you the best documentary I've watched all week, and I don't think you can mock this one, Ben, because this is fantastic. I think I'm going to be...
Try me.
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. My friend sent me this, probably not legally, but I think it's on the Disney Channel, the Disney Plus channel.
Right, well, just to interrupt you for a split second, you should be boycotting Disney as a Johnny Depp fan.
Why?
Well, because he's been canned from Pirates of the Caribbean 6. Obviously... Disney are now verboten. We don't support Disney anymore.
But is someone else going to play the role? Because surely no one else could take that role on. The series.
I think absolutely. I think they should. But there is a horrendous rumor going around that Dwayne the Rock Johnson, who I am another
ridiculous
fanboy, he's going to apparently pick up the reins.
Oh, I mean, why don't if? They... I mean, does he just come in and ruin everything? I mean,
steady on.
Didn't he redo Jumanji? I mean,
yeah,
Robin Williams, man. You can't just have Robin Williams. Just can the brand.
I know.
But anyway.
It's honestly, I can't even try and make funny conversation about it. It's just depressing.
And just, I mean, look, I'm not saying The Rock isn't a good actor. I'm sure he's obviously proved himself as an actor. Although I must admit, it is one of, if I see he's in a film, it's like, oh, I'm not going to know. But could he do that voice? Is he going to play Jack Sparrow? Would he play a new character?
Well,
brought in?
I think it's a terrible idea either way. But if he's becoming a new character in Pirates 6, then I'm not happy about it, but okay. But if he's daring to become Captain Jack Sparrow, I will be horrified. Horrified.
Well, watch this space. Anyway, the documentary I want to recommend is called The Rescue. And it's the story of the... do you remember back in, I think it was 2018, when those footballers, the kid footballers and their coach were trapped inside a cave in Thailand?
Are these the same people that Elon Musk was very worried about? Yes.
Yes. So it's the story of their rescue. And I think the filmmakers have taken a good couple of years trying to get a lot of the footage from the Thai Navy SEALs who were involved in the rescue. I think they've recreated a lot of it as well. But it's just... I mean, I knew the story, but I didn't know quite how they got them out. And it's... I won't give anything away, but it's the most compelling moving, extraordinary story that you could ever hear and see. And I watched it last night, and it was just incredible. I was at the end of it, I was going, well, that's just I was literally saying out loud to myself, that's just incredible. Incredible.
Sounds very interesting. I'm going to have to give it a watch.
So I think it's on the Disney Channel. It's a National Geographic film, so I don't know whether they've got it available anywhere, but search it out and watch it, because it is extraordinary. I mean, just the way they had to, the decisions they had to make. I mean, these are people, a lot of the main team are just cavers, they're enthusiasts, and they ended up kind of being charged with making these massive decisions about life and death for these kids and whether they could get them out or not. And it was just incredible. So anyway, it's called The Rescue. Track it down, well worth a watch.
Have you ever noticed, by the way, just on a side note, that the things you're passionate about, I'm polite and respectful, and I let you talk about them, and I think, well, Trevor's into that, that's fine. Things I care about, You just rip the piss out of me for relentlessly.
No, I do care, Ben. I do care. I'm just looking at the cast list for The Rescue. No, Johnny Depp's not in it.
Oh, fuck off.
There we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. Rat Trevor Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.